Welcome to the Thrive Vineyard Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Molly Kiefer. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit thrivevineyard.com.
I'm going to just get myself out of here.
Peace. All right. Thanks, hon. Well, Happy New Year. Kevin and I have been on vacation, so this is my first opportunity to stand in front of you and say Happy New Year. Welcome to 2025. I think about this fresh year, and I get very excited about an empty planner with these empty pages that are just waiting for ink. Kind of just feels like a whole fresh year of like possibility in front of us, doesn't it? Or like embarking on a fresh... 2025 sounds like such like a monumental number too, doesn't it? Like I'm excited about what is ahead. And here we have this fresh year, a fresh planner. It is a time, an opportunity to set expectation for this year. And as we think about setting expectation for this year, I know you, and I know that most of you, when you think about this year, all of you, when you think about this year, you're thinking about areas of growth. You're thinking about forward movement. Like none of us are content to go backwards in 2025 or even stay like neutral, like not take any ground in any area. So we think about if you have a business, you're probably thinking about your bottom line and growth in your business. You're probably thinking about how to have relationships maybe that are stronger, maybe more emotionally mature relationships where you have maybe less heat in some of your responses or conversations. Maybe you're thinking about your personal health and you're thinking about some growth there. You want to lower your cholesterol. You want to lower your 10K time. You want more steps. All of us, as we're thinking even spiritually about what could be, and we want more out of our relationship with Jesus, right? Like how many of you, you're planning on another, like read through the Bible year, right? We're planning, no, no, that's a real question. Okay, thank you to the one person that, woo, okay, we got one. Why? Because we want more of God's, you know, ways in our life. We want more of his voice. We want a deeper friendship with Jesus this year. And so we have these high expectations. We have high hopes for 2025. And as we expect more, you know that there are promises that God says, I actually move you from glory to glory. Doesn't he? He says things like, you seek me, you will find me, that you can have, we know we can have more of God. You know, there's a call on your life and you want to step into that call in greater measures. These are the things that we expect as followers of Jesus. So here we are together with high hopes for 2025. And at the start, the fresh page of our planner, I want us to think about what can we do in this first month of this year to set ourselves in the right direction for these high hopes? What can we do that will set the course for this brand new year? What can we do right now that will set us on this course? Let me answer this question by, I cannot believe that it's come to this, but I am sharing a golf illustration. My husband is a golf fanatic, and I am just a beginner, but I'm starting to enjoy the game a little bit of enjoyment, not just all frustration. But when Kevin and I, occasionally when we go out to play, he's so sweet. He has learned that he has to say, now, is today a day that you want advice or you don't want advice? Like, he has learned to ask that question because I can get really cranky. It's a super frustrating game. And if Kevin tells me, like, just do this, and I'm like, I did that and it didn't work. See, like, he gets a lot of blame for my golf game. He gets a lot of blame. But when it comes to putting, putting is when you get to that like real green, the real smooth part, and you're trying to get it in the hole. It's supposed to be like your last stroke, which for me, it's my last five strokes to get it in that hole. A lot of times I'll hit the ball and it'll literally go like 10 feet to the right of the hole. And Kevin's like, I know why it went there. He's like, Molly, your shoulders were pointed exactly where the ball ended up going, right? Like, it's just this simple. If you point your shoulders, you want to point your shoulders towards the right spot, the right hole, and it'll go in the hole. So when I think about us for this fresh year, I think about us recalibrating and pointing our shoulders in the right direction so that at the end of 2025, we aren't like, how did I miss? How was I 10 feet to the right of where I wanted to go? And so I want us to recalibrate. I want us to set in this very first month of the year to take some coaching instructions from Jesus when he said this: seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. So I want us to recalibrate as a people this month. And how are we going to recalibrate? Well, I see a really powerful tool in Scripture, a real powerful recalibration tool in Scripture: fasting. And so what I want to do today is I want to take you through some Scripture, and I want to invite you to join in a church-wide fast this month with us. And so let's look at fasting and what could be and how we could recalibrate, point ourselves in the right direction through fasting from what we see in Scripture. The first place I want to start is with a famous faster, Daniel. Daniel of Daniel in the Lion's Den. We meet Daniel in his book, Daniel 1. We find out, we discover in those first few verses, starting in verse 3, that Daniel is one of, he's an exile that's taken from Israel to Babylon. And he is taken against, you know, it's not his choice. At this point, Babylon was a massive force in the Middle East, and they were just power hungry, and they were gobbling up region after region, and they actually needed manpower to govern on their behalf for the empire. And so they took the best of the young Israelite men, the ones who had crushed the ACT, the ones who would be the Navy SEALs of their day. They took the best, the brightest, and they brought them over, and they trained them in the palace under the king to rule on his behalf. And when we meet Daniel, we find out from the very beginning, the very first few verses, in verse 8, that Daniel set himself apart from the other young recruits. And this is what we read about Daniel. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And it goes on to describe the specifics of what he asked, but he essentially asked his waiter, listen, for me and my friends, will you give us 10 days, and we're going to go on a partial fast. We just want vegetables and water, and after these 10 days, test us and see. See how our appearance is, if we're still healthy, if we're strong. And sure enough, after this partial fast, 10 days, they come back and they find that Daniel and his friends, they are healthier, they are more vibrant, more robust than all the rest of the recruits who were eating the sushi and drinking in the margs. And so they continued on this partial fast through their training period. So what was this partial fast? What was this fast all about for Daniel? Here's my take on it. So Daniel was in this really intense, rough season. You remember, he's taken as a slave. He has no choice in the matter. He's taken from his home, from his people, from his family, from his career choice, and he's forced to serve a pagan king. And it's actually a culture that's actually very hostile to his relationship with God. It wasn't like a neutral spiritual place. We find out that his coworkers are like sorcerers and magicians. Like, it's a very dark place that he's taken. And so he's in this place, again, against his will, in this really dark place, this lonely place. And you would think that he would find some comfort from the king's table and the food and the wine, right? That he'd be like, the job is terrible, but at least there's this perk, right? We got this good food. Our kids worked at Panera, and I think it was when they were in high school, it was a hard job, but they got to take home the bakery at the end of the night, right? Like, there's like this perk where they got to bring home all the lemon drop cookies and all of the croissants. So there was like a silver lining, right? Hard day, but at the end of the day, you get to feast, right? So this was a comfort, maybe something that he could look forward to in his day. But this is what we read from Daniel at the end of his hard day, that he purposed in his heart, that this decision came out of his heart. This is where this all started. This is the very meat of this fast, is that he decided in his heart. It wasn't a choice that he made with his stomach, with his mind, his intellect. No, he was making a choice with his heart. And I think he was deciding, I will not be comforted by the things of this culture. I will not be comforted by the things of this world, the things I could get for myself. I will not find strength. I will not find help from what the world gives. He chose kingdom over culture. And this is hard for us. I know for me, at the end of a hard day, if something goes wrong, I am headed for the pantry. Like, let's just be honest. There are chocolate-covered almonds in that pantry, right? Like, it's called we eat our feelings, right? But Daniel was like, no, I'm going to make a decision ahead of time that I will empty myself of what I could get, what I could fill myself for what God gives. And I see this way that Daniel, he attached this connection with God to fasting, because we see in Daniel 9 where Daniel describes fasting and he pairs these things together. Look at what he says. He says this when he describes fasting: then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. That he set his face, he was turning towards God in the darkness of his surroundings, in the darkness of his situation, in the culture he lived in. He was like, God, there is one thing I need, and it is the light of your face to shine on me. There is one thing I'm not seeking promotion from a king. I'm not seeking a name for myself in this land, in this what could be a very favored position. No, I am seeking you and what you alone can give. He turned away from food and wine and things, stuff that could prop up his flesh. He turned away from those things towards God, with his eyes towards God. And I see this purpose in fasting, this recalibration opportunity, a recalibration that is needed, guys, in our day of the fact that we can DoorDash and Uber Eats, that literally there is a drive-thru on every corner. There is a 24-hour donut shop in our town that actually makes a good donut. Recalibration is needed to align ourselves towards God, away from the quick fix of our culture and our stuff, towards God and his provision and what he can give. It's time to get into the presence of God and rely on his strength and his comfort in our day. We see Jesus doing the same thing in his fast, turning away from food towards the provision of God. Remember Jesus' fast in Matthew 4, where Jesus is relaunching. He's setting himself into his new season. And he's like basically on the brink of his whole ministry, right? He has a few short years to do this work, this mission of God, to reveal the King of Kings, the Father, to the world. And at the brink of his launch, he knew that start was everything. And so he faced that launch after a fast. And this is how he aligned himself with God in this fast. It says, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, and we see his heart here. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He knew he had to get a right start, and that came from the right source. And he decided to turn from food for that season to get his source would be God and God alone. That God and God alone would sustain him. That God's power that he had to launch his ministry sustained alone by the word of God, the presence of God, the power of God. He had to get that right, that connection right, that everything that would come, everything that was riding on those next few years, it had to come from one pure source, God and God alone. Fasting recalibrates us. Fasting reminds us food does not sustain us. Entertainment does not sustain us. Our stuff does not sustain us. God's word sustains us. God's presence is designed to sustain us. God's power sustains us. And I love how I see this in scripture, that Jesus had no other options. There was no plan B. It was God and God alone. And same with Daniel. He didn't rely on what he could get from the king and his position. God and God alone. He faced God in prayer and fasting. So this is what we want, guys. I want us to get the heart behind fasting, that it's not just the act of fasting, right? It's not just the doing it for a physical outcome. No, biblical fasting actually is fasting for a spiritual purpose. And that's what we want, something that would come out of this fast, something that would come out of our hearts. And I see this throughout the scripture, that biblical fasting, it's turning away from food towards spiritual outcomes, towards spiritual benefits. So what kind of outcomes can we expect from a fast, as we recalibrate ourselves, as we turn towards God and away from food, away from entertainment, what can we expect as to get in return? What would God give as we turn towards him, to face him? Well, I see three things that I want to highlight to you today as expectations. Although there are many more, there's like so much in the scripture about fasting, but I just want to highlight three things. And the first thing that I think we get as we turn from food towards God is that we get an overflow from God's hand. An overflow from God's hand. Richard Foster wrote this on in a chapter on fasting in his book. He said this: our human cravings and desires are like rivers that tend to overflow their banks. Fasting helps keep them in their proper channels. Can we relate to this? Like 10 minutes of TikTok turns to like 20 minutes of TikTok, right? Like our tendency, we know what this is like, human nature, don't we? That things, we give things an inch and it all of a sudden you turn around and it's taken a mile, right? Like our desire for things, our desire for image, stuff, food, money, they are always flooding their boundaries in our life. It is a constant thing. It's to be human, isn't it? And so when all that stuff, though, is in its proper channels, I believe there is an overflow from God's hand, from his heart, from his voice that begins to overflow the banks of our heart and spill out of our lives. And that's what we're after. We're after making sure that things in of this earth stay in their proper channels when we fast. David described fasting as humbling. He did. He said this in Psalm 69, I humbled my soul with fasting. There is an emptying. It's a containing. It's a putting back in its proper space. And we know the promise. We know what follows humility, don't we? There's a promise. When we are humble, God does what? Yes, exalts, lifts up, fills. That's the promise that we see in Matthew 23. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. God is always drawn to the humble. He's always drawn to the low. He's always drawn to the empty. And the promise is that he fills, and he doesn't just fill with like, you know, neutral. No, he fills with good, doesn't he? Psalm 107:9, he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Blessings are released from the Father's hand into our lives when we get empty. Jesus taught on fasting in Matthew 6, and he was setting this out for like normal Christian life. He was telling his listeners, like, this is what it means to follow me, and he set them up with, you're going to give, you're going to pray, and you're going to fast. And we the giving and the praying, sure, but the fasting is like, fast, right? Like, it's like this, like, parentheses, maybe, fast, maybe. But no, Jesus had this expectation for all three things, and he's promised this. He said, when you fast, he says this, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's what follows a fast, is a reward from the Father. This is the promise. This is the overflow that we actually really want in our lives. And guys, I want the good. I want the exalting that comes with the humble. I want the overflowing. But let's be honest, I want it without the sacrifice. I want it without the cost. I want it without the empty and the hunger pains and the fasting, right? This is what we're like as people. But I want us to together to recognize that and to say, no, this is the reward that's worth it, the overflow from God's hand. So not only do we get to experience a filling from God and what he wants to pour into our lives, but I also see that we get this nav system reboot. And I love that Adrian from the top of worship encouraged us to, what are we setting ourselves? What is our nav set to, right? But Isaiah 58, it's a great chapter on fasting. And Isaiah talks about kind of the wrong way to fast and the right way to fast. And in that chapter, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, he describes the outcome of the fast that pleases God. And this is what he says. He says this, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. And I love that first part about the light rising in the darkness that we can actually see. And then this statement, the Lord will guide you always. The Lord will guide you always. What a promise. How many of you guys remember what it was like to navigate yourself somewhere in your car before the days of the smartphone? Anyone? What did we do? MapQuest. For years, I called the Apple Map MapQuest, and my kids would just shake their head. It's not MapQuest, Mom. No. MapQuest. And you would pop your destination in, and it would give you a printout, right, of what to do, all the turns. I remember driving across the country with an atlas on my lap. Like, opened this huge, like, how did we get anywhere? How? It's, like, mind-blowing to me at this point. These days now, we have this smartphone, and all we have to do is before we go anywhere new, we just pop that destination into our smartphone, and before we even leave the driveway, what I love is it gives you options, doesn't it? This route will take you this long, this route will take you this long, and you may pay tolls, and then you pick your favorite route, and you start going, but then as you're going, it's looking ahead, and it's telling you, like, you can see, I love that we can see the yellow line, moderate traffic, right, red, oh no, it's coming, the red is coming, or it gives you, like, hey, would you like me to reroute you? Like, what? Yes, please reroute me so I don't have to sit in that red for an extra 10 minutes, right? Like, this is what it means that the Lord will guide you always, that we have this one who actually knows all the routes, and he knows. He's like, Molly, we got this option, we got these options, and then I can start, and he can be like, I actually know which roads out there that haven't even been put on the map yet. I know what's ahead. I know where there's danger, where there's accidents, where you're going to get caught up. Come to me. Come to me. Like, I'm better than that app, right? I will guide you always. This is what we want in our lives, don't we? Fasting brings guidance from the Lord. That's the outcome. That's the outcome. And I just wonder, is anyone looking for guidance from the Lord this year? Is anyone considering a job change? Is anyone considering a move? Is anyone starting to think about their future, their education, a serious relationship? Is anyone looking and asking God, I need some guidance for my kids. I need some guidance for my money. You know, why not try fasting? Why not try what God has offered in the scripture? The Lord will guide you always. So not only do we get this overflow from God's hand, this promise to guide you always, but then this third thing that I see in scripture is a spiritual awakening. And this is what it says again in Isaiah 58. This is beautiful. That the light will rise in the darkness, but that we will be like a well-watered garden in a sun-scorched land. Man, don't we get sun-scorched land? We get that, don't we? We know what it feels like to bump up against this dryness of our soul, of our spirit, of our emotions. We get it. Do you ever feel like you're just going through the motions of this life and you're like, man, I haven't felt joy in a while. I haven't felt passion, zeal for the Lord in a while. Is anyone needing a spiritual breakthrough? Anyone want to just awe God again? Anyone feeling a little spiritually discouraged and wondering, like, is there more? Is there more? I thought there was more. I thought I got into this for more of God. Do you feel like you're distant from God? And maybe there's something in between and you're just not sure how to get it out of the way. Jonathan Edwards was a young pastor in Connecticut in the 18th century, and he decided to fast. And in his fast, God used that time and gave him a famous sermon called Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. And this is what was written about him. It says this: for 3 days, Edwards had not eaten a mouthful of food. For 3 nights, he had not closed his eyes in sleep. Over and over again, he had been saying to God, give me New England. Give me New England. And when he arose from his knees and made his way to the pulpit, they say he looked as if he had been gazing straight into the face of God. They say that before he opened his lips to speak, conviction fell upon his audience. That conviction started something called the Great Awakening, which was one of the greatest revivals of all time. And maybe you're not going to preach the next, you know, great sermon, Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God too, you know. But here's what I wonder. I just wonder, do we want to know what it feels like to have the presence and power of God overcome our hearts again? Maybe you want to come out of spiritual hibernation. You know, I know that's where I'm at, is I am desperate to feel that burning passion for God's presence, in God's presence again. If I'm honest, I feel sluggish and I feel super easily distracted by the trinkets of this life and what it offers, things that are going to mean nothing when I hit the shores of eternity. If I'm honest, I feel like, you know, that whole, like, give me New England prayer, like, I have no demand equal to that of the Lord. Like, it's not even a whisper, you know. I just feel like I'm bumping along, just going through the motions. And honestly, I don't want to fake it till I make it, church. I don't. I know that's an offer out there, and it is not good enough for me this year. It's not. So I'm going to do what Daniel did. I'm going to do what Moses did. I'm going to do what the prophetess Anna did before she saw Jesus. I'm going to do what Cornelius did before the breakthrough and what Paul did before he started his ministry. I'm going to do what Jesus did. I'm going to do what Esther did when she was facing something that was too much for her. I'm going to fast and pray. I'm going to fast and pray. And by faith, I'm going to turn from food and clutter and junk and things that have comforted and lulled me to sleep a bit. And I'm going to empty myself. And I'm going to seek God in fasting and prayer. And I'm going to believe that he is going to move, that he is going to move his hand, that he is going to awaken my heart, that he's going to bring the guidance that I'm asking for, that I'm desperate for into my life. And I'm asking you to join me, to join Kevin and I in a 2-week fast. And here is what I call the nuts and bolts of this fast. First of all, I just know that I just want to put this out there. There's never a good time to fast, okay? There's never a good time to fast. Never. Yes, you will miss birthday dinners and anniversary dinners. I'm preparing myself that reward points will expire, and they will just expire on the app. And sorry, Dairy Queen, I will have to catch you next time. But if there is a good time to fast, now is the time. Now is the time. It's a fresh year. And I think there's something significant about 2025. It is time that we recalibrate ourselves, church. It's time. It's time that we launch with God. That we don't lunch with him, but we launch with him, right? And so from the top, I just want to say this, what I'm calling you to, what I'm begging, what I'm desperate that we would do together is that we would do this in faith. That we would say, I am fasting in faith, and that we will not, after 2 weeks, evaluate it and go, did it work or did it not work? We're not going to do that. We're going to believe that in faith, when we approach things in faith, that pleases God, and that what he decides to give, what he decides to do with it is up to him. And if that comes in 5 years or 10 years or in heaven, that's okay. All right? So the fast is going to begin a week from today. The week from today is actually day one. So the week from today is not like your, like, feast day, right? Saturday is, Kevin knows, I've been getting everything out of the house, out of the freezer. The kids came home and I sent it all, like, get it out of my house. And so next Sunday, January 19th, 2 weeks then would end Saturday, February 1st, okay? And you have options. There's lots of options. What I'm asking is you pray about it. You ask God, what's the ordained fast for me in this time? There are medical reasons why you should not fast at all. And you know those. Those are between you and your doctor and the Lord. Some people, we actually shouldn't fast. And I want to 100% support that. Some of you are going to do a partial fast, like a Daniel fast, which is like fruits and vegetables, water, legumes, something along those lines. Some of you, maybe you fast sugar. Some of you are going to fast maybe just one meal a day, lunch or breakfast. Some people fast sunrise to sunset. You can do a combination of things, right, during the 2 weeks. You pray about it. You ask the Holy Spirit what he's calling you to. Maybe it's something that you just turn to too easily. You just reach for it. You're grabbing it. It's overextending its boundaries in your life, its channels. But the point in this is what I'm asking that we make sure that we do is that there is a turning to the Lord, that we're not just dieting, we're not doing something just for the physical part of it, but we're actually turning to the Lord. And so that may mean also removing other clutter, YouTube, like social media, if it's not a part of your business, whatever those things may be. Kevin has an electronic golf game that he's like, I'm done. Like, that thing's going in hibernation for a while, right? So something like that would distract you, and so that you can actually get your heart into that place where you're open-handed, open heart before the Lord, saying, Phil, I need what you have. I do not live on these other things, but you and you alone. Okay, so we're going to spend a little extra time in prayer. We're going to spend that time seeking him, being desperate before his face for what he can give. So here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that at the end of 2025, when we're looking back and saying, did I hit the pin? Did I get closer to the pin this year? That at the end of 2025, maybe at the end of the decade, maybe at the end of the final days of Thrive, maybe when we again are at the end of our lives, that we would say about this fast what Spurgeon says about his fast. And this is what he wrote. Our seasons of fasting and prayer at the tabernacle have been high days indeed. Never has heaven's gate stood wider. Never have our hearts been nearer the central glory. That's my prayer. Never has heaven's gate stood wider, and never have our hearts been nearer the central glory. Amen. Let's stand up and pray this thing in the capacity that God has and wants for us and longs for us.